What's up? This Movies On Up discussion episode. Our favorite sex comedies. He's leaving virgin territory. I am Dave, joined by my virginal co-host, Ryan.
In what regards?
I don't know. Mid-sentence, I was thinking, like, that's a crappy way to introduce somebody, but that's all I got right now.
Fair enough.
So he's
that's me. I'm a virgin. Whatever.
He's Ryan. I'm Dave. We are Movies On Up. This is our discussion episode for the week. Favorite sex comedies. Tagline, he's leaving virgin territory.
Do you know what that's from?
I do.
Okay, good, because I picked it specifically for you.
Yeah.
A movie that you like a lot.
Yeah. If you know what movie that is from, let us know. Twitter, at MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. If you are right and we pick you, you will win a Movies On Up prize package. So that's it this week. Favorite sex comedies. It's a fun one. I can't see. We say it every week, but I really can't imagine not having crossover this week.
Yeah, I thought about that. If we have crossover, I feel like it's going to be more at the top of the list than it is at the bottom. But maybe that's just because that's where I put them. So if we have any crossover, you're going to ruin my top couple.
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm worried about it, but we'll get there. Before we get to it, it's time for a
sexy bonus list.
These are the top five movies starring Shannon Elizabeth.
She is sexy.
She is sexy. Number five, 13 Ghosts. Number four, Cursed, which should not be on any list ever.
Have you seen the filmography of Shannon Elizabeth?
Number three.
Comb through it.
Love Actually. Number two, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And number one, American Pie. We usually try to leave obvious ones off, and so I guess that one's not. I saw that, and it wasn't going to be on my list because it was on this.
Have you seen the filmography of Shannon Elizabeth? Like, I could not have left that off. It just would have been impossible.
Yeah, but whatever.
I would have had to put on Demon Knight or Night of
the Demons.
Yeah, the remake with her and
Demon
Edward
Knight
Furlong.
Demon Knight,
yeah,
I love.
Not Demon Knight, no.
Fat
Edward Furlong. Jesus.
So this was a fun one, kind of easy. Easier than a lot of them. Sometimes we challenge ourselves. This one, I think once you start thinking about it, it gets pretty easy.
This one, I kind of feel like if we do this again, which I wouldn't be opposed to doing again, we should break it into eras.
Yeah.
It's favorite sex comedies from the 80s.
Because the 80s, they were a lot more prominent in like late 70s, early 80s.
They went away for a while.
Went away for a while, came back with American Pie, but have been kind of spread out.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like every year there was one that I could have picked from the 80s, and it would have absolutely justified its place on the list. I mean, I didn't want to fill it up with five movies from the 80s. But I think that I very easily could have put together a list of five and some also-rans from the 80s. And I could have done the same thing, you know, for kind of post-American Pie.
Plus, it's what exactly is a sex comedy? Like, how much sex needs to be there?
How much comedy needs to be there?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how our takes are on it because I have probably three that I don't think will be crossover. The other two probably will be, but we'll see. So why don't we see? And Ryan, your number five favorite sex comedy.
My number five favorite sex comedy. I mentioned in our news episode, so I was talking about John Hughes movies. Yeah, RIP to the recently departed news and trailers, that I would probably be mentioning a John Hughes movie in the favorite sex comedies. And I am going to, right out of the chute, number five, movie that we had talked about. I don't know why we were talking about Weird Science. Maybe it was for a remake, but it's 1985. And this is absolutely like one of the first ones that came to mind when I think of sex comedy, because it is essentially two nerds get together and use their computer to create a woman for the sole purpose of having sex with. And it is really, really a funny movie. Bill Paxton is so good as Chet, the older brother. He's awesome. Kelly LeBrock, hotter than hell. And the shower scene, you specifically referenced the shower scene when you were talking about it, where, okay, you finally, these nerds finally get a hot chick in the shower and they've got their jeans on. Like, it's John Hughes is such a good filmmaker, and he can do a sex comedy, and it's not just raunch. There is, you know, there is a heart to it. There's a heart to everything he does, and I would have, there's no way I could have left this off the list. It just would have been impossible.
I also could not leave it off my list. So,
you didn't.
We'll say it was my number five also.
Okay, fair enough.
It was one of the first ones to come to mind. Probably could have been higher than number five, but...
This is going to be awesome because I'm just going to ruin all of your list. You're going to have to shift everything around. I'm just going to be like, yep, that's fine for me.
But it's number five because it was funny to see. Like, they create this female just for their sexual pleasure, but don't really know what to do with her. And then she's unleashed on the world and causes all these other people to have sexual desires towards her. It's such a funny concept, and they nailed it. Like, it's very 80s. It's 1985, so it's very 80s. It's very John Hughes, but it's not 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink. Like, it has that John Hughes, like, tone to it, but it's not his earlier movies, if that makes any sense.
I mean, I think it does. It's definitely, if you look at, 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink, I mean, a lot of those ones, or even Breakfast Club, they're more like coming of age stories, so to speak. And I guess this kind of is.
It's a different
way. But it's a
very
specific type. It's a sexual coming of age story where, these guys decide that they are ready to kind of take that on, but then when push comes to shove, like, it's not quite what they thought.
And I say it's very 80s because the reason we were talking about it is there is a reboot in process. I don't know if this story works now with the access to porn and everything on the internet, and these kids can see pretty much anything they want to see. I don't know if it still works. It's going to take some work to update it, and I'm interested to see if they pull it off. But it's very 80s, and it still feels 80s when you watch it, but it's good 80s. Like, it's good. It still holds up. The TV show was terrible, but the movie still holds a test. Like, Stan, it's still so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's the movie was good enough to spawn a television show. The idea was clever enough. You couldn't really stretch that movie out into a weekly episodic TV show. It didn't work
despite
quite so
Lee Tergesen's best efforts.
Yeah. So that was it. That's our number fives. It's Weird Science. My number four, not from the 80s. It is from the 2000s, really of a pretty recent vintage. 2007, Superbad. Absolutely love that movie. It is a sex comedy, and it does involve the quest for a sweet blowj or I forget what he's promised. But I think that it's kind of the vernacular of kind of our time. Where we talk about Weird Science being very dated in the mid-80s, Superbad's very dated in the kind of more recent years. The lingo is there, the fashions and all of that. And it just, you still have two nerds, but they're not the same kind of nerds as you had in the 80s. It's kind of the nerd chic type now. And I think that it was probably of all the movies to come out at that time, and I'll lump, 40-Year-Old Virgin in a lot of these. I think Superbad was the best. I think that one's good from beginning to end. It doesn't feel too long at any point, which is something that I don't often say about his movies, but I think it's perfect.
This was one of the first ones that also came to mind, and it's probably my favorite sex comedy, but instead of putting it at number one, it's also my number four.
Hey!
Superbad. The chemistry between Jonah Hill and Michael Cera is so good. Christopher Mintz pass in there as McLovin. It's
iconic character.
Yeah. No, he is an iconic character, but this is a movie. It is a sex comedy. The whole drive of the story is these dudes want to get laid, and that's it. 100%, that's the driving force of the story. But more than that, it's a story about friendship, and it's one of the most, like, close, true, realistic, like, movies on male friendship I've seen in a long time. Not just, like, high school male friendship, but just male friendship altogether. Like, everything about it, to where there are these issues between the two of them, but they're what each other has. So they're passively, aggressively mentioned occasionally until they come to a head, but then it's fine. So, I mean, it is about sex, 100%. But to me, what made it so strong was the friendship between those two and the chemistry between those two, and how Jonah Hill's jealous that he's rooming with McLovin the next year. Like, just him carrying him away. Like, everything about this movie is so good. And what's funny is that you don't get to the sex. Like, you get something like American Pie. That was about them having sex.
Right.
They got there. This, they don't.
Spoiler alert.
They're on their way there, but they don't get there, which I thought is cool because you see the journey, and the destination that they land at
is okay. It's better probably
than
preferable.
Better than what they were hoping for. So it's just so good, and the characters are just so well written. I mean, for something that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg started writing when they were like 13 to not be made until their, you know, mid to late 20s.
They're too old to really.
Yeah. So, I mean, but even the cop characters are funny.
Yeah.
And that's another thing on Friendship is like these guys have each other, but they're so desperate for that to have somebody else. And it's so funny. There's so many things about this movie. The dance scene at the party, like, I still laugh. I cry laughing every time. And I'll never forget in the theater the first time it dawns on you before Jonah Hill what that is. And it just, like, you're cringing with laughter as it comes to him. And it's just, I saw that movie 5 times in theaters. And you know what? I would go see it again. If it were re-released, I would go see it again just because it's nonstop funny. But it's really good story and the characters you care about. Like, it's what a comedy should be because it's got a good story, it's got great characters, and it's just nonstop hilarious.
It is the funniest movie on my list, no doubt. It's not even close.
It would be the funniest movie on almost any list because as far as funny movies go, it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. That's not hyperbole. When I think of movies that what has made me laugh from beginning to end nonstop, this is up there. It would be hard to think of, you know, 4 or 5 others that make me laugh as hard as this all the way through.
Yeah. And
it's a shock it's not my number one.
Yeah. It is. I'm going to be interested to hear how you argue against these other movies being higher on your list. But I guess that will be for, we'll have to wait a little bit on that one. But we mentioned that Weird Science couldn't necessarily, you know, how would you remake Weird Science? I mean, I think it would have to be a bit like the relationships would have to be more like they are in Superbad.
Yeah.
Because that is more how things are now than how they were in the 80s. So, I mean, I think
that's why they want an R-rated reboot.
Well, yeah.
You have to go that route to make it work.
Yeah, you have to go that route. But, I mean, to remake Weird Science, you would have to start with kind of the bedrock of Superbad and work from there.
Yeah.
My number 3, there are 2 movies that I had to put on because of what they represented. We talked about right at the beginning. I spoiled it with putting American Pie on there for Shannon Elizabeth movies. It's my number 3 from 99. I feel like sex comedies in like the mid to late 90s, way different. If you look at like Can't Hardly Wait, I think that was from like 97 or 98.
Yeah, that one was almost, I don't consider that a sex comedy. I think that
I
was about
either.
More than that, because really only Seth Green's character is that's the focus, but
yeah,
that came to my mind, but then I was like, I don't really, that's cheating because I don't consider it that.
It's cheating. It's a fine movie, but
oh, I love the movie.
It seemed like there was in that mid to late 90s that there were more movies about just like trying to get the girlfriend in high school, and it was less about the sex, whereas in the 80s Weird Science, they didn't want to date Kelly LeBrock. They just wanted to bang her.
Yeah, and like all the early 80s movies that might get mentioned later, that they were just about the sex.
It was about the sex, and then it had kind of, there was a paradigm shift, and I'm not sure why or how, but then that definitely broke again in 99 with American Pie, because that was just sex. That's all they wanted. I mean, they got there. And, you know, again, you have, you know, your iconic characters and your iconic scenes from that. There's been a bunch of sequels that were just garbage. I actually thought about putting, like, the top 5 American Pie movies that were not American Pie, like the Naked Mile one, all that
Camp.
Crap. Yeah, but there was only, like, 4 of them, so I couldn't do that. But, I mean, I stand behind American Pie. In 99... I think I was relatively sure I was a freshman in high school when this movie came out. And it was one of the last movies that I had to, like, beg my mom to take us all in the minivan to go watch. And I remember at the time thinking, this is awesome. Like, I still had my entire high school career ahead of me, and I thought, oh, man, this is what high school is going to be like. Turns out, not so much. But
that's why you're my virginal co-host.
Yeah, thanks. I am more the Jason Biggs than the Chris Klein. But thought it was really, really good. I mean, say what you want about Sean William Scott. As Stifler,
I love Sean William Scott. And as Stifler, he was great.
Yes.
This, if we were to ever do favorite movie-going experiences, this would be up there. Because in 99, when I saw this, it was one of my favorite, like, going to the theater experiences, because I saw it opening weekend. Mm-hmm. It was packed. And people didn't really know what they were getting.
Because there had been nothing like it for so long.
And that's, I mean, that era, like, just the three that I think of right away are South Park, because people didn't know how dirty and raunchy it was going to get. Blair Witch, because it was a whole other animal.
Yeah.
And then American Pie, because people didn't expect, like, South Park, you kind of expected it, but they escalated it more. American
With
Pie,
not having to bleep anything,
yeah,
it was
American
unfiltered.
Pie, you really didn't. So, I mean, the audience there didn't know what they were getting, and it was just laughs the whole time. And you know what? I skipped all the sequels, all the direct-to-DVD. I have no interest in them, but for a standalone single movie, American Pie is great. Even to this day, I still love it. I have no interest in anything that came after it. But again, it goes back to Superbad, the friendship there, and Weird Science. Like, those two were friends. These guys, they're a group of friends. Like, yeah, Stifler's the outsider, but the core there is these guys care about each other, and this is what guys care about. So it's just there's so much good stuff about this movie. The characters were well done. I mean, they weren't just throwaway characters just looking to get laid. Like, everybody had their own little quirks, and there were different storylines. You know, Chris Klein, the studly jock that could just go get, fell in love. Like, the other dude from Rookie of the Year with Tara Reid. Like, their relationships kind of...
Henry Rowan Gardner.
Huh?
Wasn't that his name for Rookie of the Year?
I think so. But it was fun. I mean, it was a good movie. Again, I don't care about anything after that, but it was a really, really good movie.
Is it so good that it made your list at any point?
No, I left it off because it made the other list.
Okay, well,
it was
good.
One of my honorable mentions.
Okay, fair enough.
My number three, though, or what number are we on?
This is number three now.
My number three now, also from 1999, but not as popular as American Pie, not as iconic, did not get the wide release, a little... movie about sexual discovery called The Sex Monster. One of Mike Binder's, for like this and followed directly by Foreplay, were like Mike Binder in his like Woody Allen phase where he's writing, directing, and starring in his movies. And they did feel very Woody Allen-ish. This one, it's just he's married to Mariel Hemingway. He wants to have a threesome, convinces her to have it. She loves it. And so now all she can think about is sex with women. So he's got to deal with this monster he's created. And he's perfect in these kind of roles. Like, he's really good. It's not his best movie. His better movies came when he took himself out of the lead, like Upside of Anger and Rain Over Me. But as a lead and an actor, writer, director, he was really good in this because it did focus on Mariel Hemingway's character and his reaction to it. It was just so funny because it's, all guys think about threesomes, but then it's like, oh, what if that did happen? Like, what if you do convince your wife or girlfriend to? Californication had a storyline that touched on the same thing. So it was just a lot of fun, and he's got that quirky, like, dry sense of humor that makes it work. So 1999's The Sex Monster was my number whatever we're on.
Number
now.
Three.
Yes.
My number two, this was one that I thought I might have to argue in terms of having it be on the list. It is one of my favorite movies from the 80s, and it is a comedy. I mean, it's funny. It does revolve an awful lot around sex, but I don't know that I think of it as a sex comedy. Directed by Amy Heckerling, written by undercover by Cameron Crowe when he was narking on high schoolers, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. As I was kind of mentioning what it is, Dave got the look like, oh, yeah, of course. Why not? I mean, when you think about it, Jennifer Jason Leigh's storyline is about having sex and then having to go get an abortion. Like, that is a heavy thing to be in this movie Which, I mean, I think the first things you think about when you think of Fast Times, Spicoli.
Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, that's it.
The first and second thing I think about.
Yes. One of the best nudie scenes in movie history.
Yeah.
It's great. But you think about those things, and you think about Mr. Hand, and you think about Eric Stoltz. But then
Judge Reinhold.
Yeah. I mean, the cast is so great, and it's such a fun movie. But, you know, at its core, it's about, you know, this freshman girl who has sex in a dugout of a baseball field and then has to go get an abortion, and the guy that knocks her up doesn't even show up. Like, it's very, very heavy stuff. But I think that is kind of the flip side of all of these movies. You know, they glorify sex and how that's... You don't ever think of the consequences. This movie actually does show you what the consequences can be, and it still manages to not be preachy and still enjoyable. But I think that in addition to just, you know, kind of having a little bit behind it, it does give you a pretty good picture of high school in general. Not just the quest to get laid, but everything about it. Great movie. And I don't feel like I had to maybe argue as much as I thought that I would to have it included.
No, it popped up in my thought process, but I never really committed to it. And it stands true about a lot of that era of comedies. When you look at it, like, yeah, at the heart of this, it's a story about an abortion. You could get away with a lot of that stuff in the 80s. A lot of your 80s comedies have a darker storyline that you don't. I mean, Revenge of the Nerds ends in a rape, essentially. So, I mean, they're a lot darker than you think of just because of the silliness of the 80s. My number...
Before we get to your number two, I cannot help. And it's we bring up the Phoebe Cates thing because you can't not. I mean, every time I hear that song from the Cars, that's the first thing I think of. And anytime I hear She's Gonna Be Somebody's Baby, I think about Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
And there are worse things you could think of when you hear a song. A couple nice sets of breastises. Thank you, Amy Heckerling.
Yeah, I enjoy her. I thought you were going to say Clueless.
No, I think we did a top five women director movies for some women directors for something, and I did bring up Amy Heckerling because I like to talk about Fast Times, and I think we kind of talked Clueless then too. But no, I mean I like this one better.
I'm gonna go.
You're number two.
My number two. We talked about early 80s being such, which I'm surprised none of those movies have been mentioned yet. I wonder if we're...
One of them's coming.
Yeah, I wonder if we're holding off on them.
Yeah.
But they kind of went away in the mid-80s. Like, Weird Science kind of stood alone on itself. But then there weren't a lot of them. Until 1990, a movie came out that tried to reinvent it. Ski School.
Yeah.
Starring Chainsaw from Summer School. Dean Cameron. So Ski School came out, and it's just we talked about American Pie and the stuff later being more about, like, relationshipy than just sex. No, Ski School was in early 80s. Even though it was in the 90s, it was very much just...
It was a throwback.
Women are objects. We just want to penetrate them, and that's it. Just wacky. It's very reminiscent of...
It's like a summer camp movie.
Summer
kind of.
Just in school, and, I mean, it was very similar to... Hot Dog the Movie, which was one of those early 80s sex movies.
Or Hamburger.
Hot Dog the Movie was a ski movie also earlier in the 80s. It just, I mean, there's not a lot to say about it because it's not a great movie.
But it's so high on your list.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think it'd be more in the four range
or
so.
You would think, or maybe five.
Yeah, but so, I mean, it's not a great movie, but for what we're talking about, it's very much an enjoyable sex comedy.
That's why we should just do these in chronological order. Because then you could just say, oh, hey, man, whatever. Like, what can I do?
I like putting my favorites in order, though.
Yeah, but this, you get into trouble because you have to tell everybody that Ski School is your second favorite sex comedy of all time.
Because it is.
Because it is. More so than Weird Science and Superbad.
Yeah.
Because you like Ski School better. My number one, which... I was hoping that it wouldn't end up being your number two. But
this is another one of those. I knew what your number one would be going into it.
Well, it had to be. Like, it is the godfather of the sex comedy movies. Again, early on in the 80s. I think this kind of, the success of this movie launched
the whole genre.
Yeah, launched everything after it. It is Porky's from 1981. It had some, a bit like American Pie, it had some sequels to it, which were
lackluster.
Yeah, god awful. But they were like, oh hey, we, you know, we've hit on something here. How do we keep it going? And I think Porky's was 1982. I'm sorry. Porky's 2 the next day was 1983, and I want to say Porky's 3 was 84. So I mean, they really didn't let the dust settle on these things. But you talk about like the iconic scenes in American Pie, where everybody knows what happens with the pie. I think everybody knows what happens with the people,
shower.
The shower in Porky's. That's, I mean, even if you've never seen the movie, I feel like a lot of people probably are have a pretty good handle on that. And Kim Cattrall's not in the movie a lot, but the scenes that she has, the particular scene where she has sex and it absolutely just ruins, I don't know if there's like a pep rally or what's going on at the time, but it's so ridiculous and it goes on for so long. I had seen Porky's much, much later in life, obviously, after I'd already seen American Pie. It's, I think after you've seen maybe some of the newer stuff, Porky's doesn't hold up as much, but without Porky's, we don't have American Pie, we don't have Superbad, and really anything that came after. I don't want to say that we don't have Weird Science, but you know, maybe we don't. Maybe it's, you know, just not acceptable at that point. But the original Porky's, it's not. I had to put it number one just because it sort of did launch the genre. Is it my favorite? I don't know. It's definitely not the funniest. I probably would have had it lower on my list, but it has to occupy kind of that Godfather spot at number one.
Yeah, no, there's, I mean, it kicked off the genre. And one thing that I, before we get to my number one, in that same area, I had trouble leaving it off my list. I'll say it before we get to honorable mentions, but Risky Business was just a year or two after Porky's. But I don't look at it as just a comedy because it does get pretty dark and heavy at times. So I couldn't just consider that a comedy. But it, without Porky's, I don't know that Risky Business comes out, you know, or gets the success that it did. So, and then you mentioned Kim Cattrall, who, a bonus one, a few years ago was in this movie called
Meat Dick.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, just shut it.
So I'll go to my number one. Why?
Because I'm going to mention it later.
Oh, okay, we're at your number one.
Yeah, that was my number one. Okay. And then our bonus list is, hey, so
God, I would hate for either of us to ruin it for the other one.
Hey, you wanted me to go first, man.
You know what? At the end, though, my number one, I don't mind this movie being number one. I don't like it as much as Superbad. I do like it more than Weird Science. In the end, it was my number two, and so I don't mind it jumping up. It's something that we vaguely referenced earlier. It is Sex Drive. It kind of went unnoticed.
Vaguely.
Yeah. It kind of went unnoticed when it came out because it was, you know, it was 2008, so it was after a couple bad American Pie sequels. It was a year after Superbad. It wasn't going to be Superbad good, and it just kind of got lumped in with American Pie sequels bad. But it's actually really good. And, again, at the heart of it is friendship, not, it's not between the Zuckerman character and Clark Duke, but Zuckerman and Amanda Crew's character. It's that male-female friendship. And here, you know, he's driving cross-country to hook up with an internet chick, and his female best friend happens to sneak in the car with him, who's obsessed with his friend Clark Duke, who just likes to get laid. It's one of those, it's very, very funny. And I think it's underlooked. Like, have you seen it? I know we talked.
Yeah,
it's just so funny, and all the characters are good. They're not, even
Marsden is awesome.
Even Marsden, who's there for just comic relief, is a really good, fun character. And the two dudes, the high school kids, like,
yeah, the kid from Modern Family,
yeah,
isn't that?
Like, it's just a really fun, funny
movie. Or no, From the Middle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah. Seth Green. I say what you will about Seth Green, he's awesome in this movie. Like,
It's perfect Seth Green.
It's perfect Seth Green. Like, this is what he's great at. And they let him, and it's so good. Even there's a Fallout Boy appearance, but It's so good and so funny. And for whatever reason, people overlooked this when it came out. I know it's on Comedy Central a lot, but don't watch the Comedy Central version. There's some good, I mean, there's really good gags in there. Like, it's a hilarious scene. A lot of times when you think of a movie and you just think, like, there is just hilarious scene after hilarious scene, it's hard to tie them all together. But, I mean, dude on stage with a boner during a purity rally, like, that's hilarious. That's funny.
And not realizing he was going to a purity rally.
Yes. And it's so funny, and it's so well done. And all the Amish stuff, it's so easy to make, like, cheap Amish jokes, but they make it work. And it's so good. Katrina Bowden's so hot. The Amish chick is so hot. Amanda Crew was adorable. Like, yeah. She's the kind of girl you want as a best friend. It's so good. It's very, very good. It's very, very funny. And it drives me nuts that it doesn't get spoken about as one of the better sex comedies. Because, I mean, there hasn't been a ton of them. But it's really good. Like, it's not quite super bad funny, but it's close.
It is a really good movie, and I'm glad that you mentioned it. I had a feeling you would. Maybe that's why we vaguely mentioned it at the top of the show the way we did. It was one of those ones that after enough prodding from you, I eventually did go check out, and I did. I liked it a lot. I think there was a couple that I kind of wanted to mention in some of the also-rans that came out about that same time, and I'm a little surprised that you know, Eurotrip didn't quite make your list. I felt like that would have, and that came out at about the same time.
That's one of those I didn't consider a sex comedy.
Okay.
It was on our, I think we did a Vacations Gone Wrong, and it was on there. I didn't think the driving force of that was sex. Like, even Road Trip, I would consider that more of a sex comedy than that, and I don't even consider that. I mean, that sex drives the plot. He's accidentally sent a sex tape to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Road Trip qualifies, I think, more. I wouldn't have argued if you put Eurotrip on it, but to me, I look at it as more of a vacation comedy than like a sex comedy.
What else did you have that didn't make it?
Really, just 40-Year-Old Virgin, which I pretty much just left it off because I assumed you would have it, or it was an obvious one.
Yeah,
Porky's, obviously, Risky Business. The Sure Thing, starring John Cusack, which is similar plot to Sex Drive. But given time and everything, I think Sex Drive is the better movie. Because Cusack was in a lot of those in the early 80s that could borderline be sex comedies. But The Sure Thing, I think, was definitely one that could be considered it. And then I had another one that I'm not allowed to mention.
You did, because I'll let you chime in about it in just a little bit when I get there. A couple that I left off. It's not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I remember... It's one of those movies that I'm not sure why I was tricked into watching it, but I was really young. Too young to appreciate the sexual escapades of Scott Baio and Zapped. But
I hate that.
It is not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't know that there's enough kind of sex in it.
It's chronicle driven by a boner, pretty much.
Yes, it is. If you had superpowers and instead of... like manipulating baseballs into your friend's face, you lifted skirts and did unsnapped bras. That's kind of what Zapped is. And I'm pretty sure there's an awesome vomit scene in it. we might have to do that, like top five puke scenes of all time. I feel like we have that list well underway anyway. Another one was from 2004, The Girl Next Door, where...
Yeah, that almost... Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of my introduction to Eliza Cuthbert. And she is a internet chick that lives literally across the street from this guy. And he absolutely falls in love with her. And then from there on out, it's, you know, him trying to sort of reconcile.
And Timothy Oliphant steals that movie.
Yeah. Good movie. A funny movie. And again, I think that had a little bit of heart to it as well.
More than you would expect based on the trailers. Yeah.
And less sex than you would expect based on the trailer as well. Maybe that's why it didn't make the list. I don't know. More heart, not enough sex.
Less heart, more pork.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, hey, Porky's. That's what gets you on my list, apparently. Dicks through shower walls.
That's another scene in Sex Drive that you got to watch the real movie, not the Comedy Central scene, because there's a really good dick joke in there.
Yes, there is. There's, wow. It's a good movie. No YPF for you either.
No, it slipped my mind completely. That's be my number one. I don't know how that.
I don't know how it didn't either.
I was just holding the DVD yesterday, and somehow that didn't slip my mind.
Were you putting it away, or were you just like petting it?
I was holding it. I was unpacking stuff, and I was like, oh, I need to watch this again. I don't know how that movie missed. YPF, Young People Fucking. It's such a good movie. That's my co-number one with Sex Drive.
why don't you just make that your number two instead of Ski School?
Yeah, it's my. I don't know how that movie slipped my mind. Occasionally, there's stuff that slips my mind. Yeah. I don't see how. That's one of them because I love that movie.
I was convinced that was going to be your number one.
It was close. I mean, it's my co-number one with Sex Drive.
So I was right then.
Yeah, it's like co-number one. I forgot. Like that's one of that's silly on me. That's such a good movie. Watch it. It's just a bunch of different stories all in one night of different couples having sex, and it's hilarious. It's so funny. Another one we'll get to, I like that both our watch thises would actually fit on the list. My watch this, I didn't even consider it until I made it my watch this, which probably could have made my top five had I thought about it sooner. But before we go, we always like to give a themed watch this. So this week we're going to tell you to watch a movie with anyone from our number one favorite sex comedy. Oh, I have an asterisk next to mine.
Oh, because, well, whatever. mine was an asterisk that I called Dave a dick and told him to shut up because I was going to talk about Kim Cattrall's movie from just a couple years ago called Meet Monica Velour. And I like kind of transitioning from The Girl Next Door to Meet Monica Velour because it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of, except whereas Elijah Cuthbert is
young and hot.
Yes. Kim Cattrall is the busted down version of what Elijah Cuthbert
was. Saw her better
was.
Days in the 80s.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop Dustin Ingram's character from driving from, how was he, from like the West Coast somewhere to Indiana to watch her perform at the Petting Zoo strip club. It's kind of like half Napoleon Dynamite, half maybe Girl Next Door, but it's a lot less on the comedy.
Yeah.
There still are scenes in it that are funny, but it is more, you know, this virginal character who is not just in love with an adult film star, but one that's 49. You know, 32 years his elder. And watching him legitimately try and figure out kind of all those emotions and deal with this woman and her messed up situation.
Where she's just like a single mom trying to get by. Like,
and I think with Kim Cattrall, I don't necessarily care for her at all.
I don't like her at all.
But I think in this role, she did a really good job. Yeah. And I think maybe it's just me associating her, you know, with her role in Porky's and even, you know, some of the other stuff she did in the 80s. I think it makes a lot of sense for her now to be doing this. And I think she did a really, really good job.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting movie. Like, I guess it's technically a comedy, but not as. I think the constant thing, especially on my list, was that the comedy drives it. For mine, this is Living in a World Where Superbad was my number one.
Okay, well, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so my watch this. Another movie that would qualify for it, and I liked a lot, but really didn't think about it until I made that connection, Easy A, starring Emma Stone. That's a sex comedy. Yeah. There's not a lot of sex in it, but that's what drives
that's
it.
That's the point.
That's the whole point of the movie is her, quote-unquote, having sex with people. So it's a little different take on it, but it established her as a star because she carries that movie, and it's just really, really good. So Easy A was mine if Superbad would have been my number one.
But it wasn't. Or what ended up being your number one?
Sex Drive and YPF tied.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so this
it's
was
okay. Say Sex Drive is Hot Tub Time Machine.
Fair enough.
That's borderline sex comedy.
Sure. What the hell? I'm a little surprised. I guess I'm not surprised. This was kind of the list that we had the most cross. We always think that we're going to have it.
This
most
we actually
of the time.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, most of the time we really don't have any crossover. But would we have two movies this time?
Yes.
And I'm sorry that they were two that were very, very high for you, not as high for me. But I still think, you know, we gave, and between the watch, the Sizzes also rans, I still think we were able to list through enough good flicks.
Yeah, I think there's a lot covered. If we missed anything, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, or facebook.com/moviesonup. For a large part of our audience that only hears this episode and doesn't listen to our news and trailers episode.
Business as usual.
Business as usual. But we just want to lay out news as of this week was the last news and trailers episode. We've been trying to mix it up with discussion episodes where we do a list and then occasionally we do a movie. Starting next week, it's movie early in the week where our news trailer episodes have been, and list late a couple days later. So if you like hearing us talk about movies, singular movies, you're going to get to every week, and we're still going to do lists every week. So that kicks off next week when we're going to watch Smashed. The Spectacular Now comes out, so we're going to watch that director's previous outing, Smashed, with Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Aaron Paul. And then we're going to give our favorite Denzel movies later in the week.
Because Two Guns, right?
Yeah, Two Guns. So that'll be a lot of fun. If you've seen Smashed or haven't yet, that's what we're going to be talking next week. Let us know your favorite Denzel movies. Email, you know, moviesonup@gmail.com. I just said Twitter and Facebook. Everything's Movies on Up. And also, along with the change in format, check out our website, moviesonup.com. Just this week, I put up two blogs. I put up potential Batman casting and honoring Dennis Farina, like my favorite Dennis Farina performances. So we are going to try to be more active on the blog and on the Twitter with news. Like, I'll take the news to Twitter. I'll try to do a box office blog. So check us out at moviesonup.com because we're trying to do a lot of different stuff. And we'd love it if our listeners can get to our Twitter, to our Facebook, and come to the site. We'd love to hear from you. And hopefully you dig it, and hopefully you're down for listening to us talk a movie and a list every week, because that's what we're going to be doing.
We're assuming that you are, because you download those episodes a whole lot more than the news and trailers. So it's our way of kind of responding to what you guys at least seem to be into. So hopefully that trend continues. And now that we have to do a movie episode and a discussion episode every week, you know, if there's a particular movie that you'd like us to talk about, we would absolutely
always open for suggestions. And a little bonus, me and Ryan have plugged a couple times having a sports talk show on Thursdays. If you're interested in what we sound like talking about sports, we did put up an episode from last week on moviesonup.com. You can find it. And if you want to download it there, you can check it out from there. Other than that, you can find me @DaveBasella on Twitter. And I think that's about it.
Sports Wrap Thursday. If you're listening to this before Thursday, you can catch it here locally in Youngstown, 1390 AM from 6 to 8. Or if you are listening anywhere else in the universe that has internet, you can check it out on sportsanimal1390.com. You can stream it, iHeartRadio. Hooray!
Yeah, that's every Thursday, 6 to 8. For the foreseeable future.
until they catch what we do on Mondays when they're not around.
So I guess that's it. We got next week. It feels like a brand new week for Movies on Up, and I'm excited to get there. So watch Smashed and listen to us talk about it, and then send us in your favorite Denzel movies so we can talk about those too. Until then.
Keep it up.